The fluorescent lights in the sub-basement lab didn't flicker. They hummed at a frequency that resonated in the fillings of my teeth. Dr. Sterling stood by the centrifuge, his lab coat so bleached it looked blue under the heavy tubes. He was holding a glass slide between two fingers, rotating it slowly to catch the light. The room smelled of isopropyl alcohol and the faint metallic tang of the ventilation system. He didn't look at me when I walked in. He just pointed at the digital terminal with his free hand. The cursor on the screen was blinking, a steady rhythmic pulse of green light against a black background. On the stainless steel counter, exactly 2 inches from the keyboard, sat a single half-eaten green apple. The flesh had turned a deep, bruised brown, where it had been exposed to the air. Sterling moved his hand to the mouse. The friction of the plastic against the metal table made a dry, scratching sound. He didn't click anything yet. He simply let his palm rest on the device, his knuckles white and prominent. The clock on the wall was an analog dial, the second hand sweeping in a continuous, silent circle. He picked up a pipette, adjusted the dial with a series of sharp mechanical clicks, and set it back down. He hadn't looked at the raw data files I'd flagged an hour ago. He never did. He looked at the final graph on the monitor, which showed a perfect ascending curve, a beautiful, impossible trajectory of success. He turned the silver pen in his hand once, twice, then stopped. The air in the lab felt thick, like it was saturated with more oxygen than a human was meant to breathe. He leaned toward the screen, and the scent of his peppermint gum, sharp and artificial, cut through the chemical odor of the room. The lead author position is a heavy weight. It carries a specific gravity in the academic world, roughly equivalent to a royal title in a small country. You have to understand that this isn't about being a liar. It's about the momentum of a career. When you spend 6 years sleeping on a cot in a shared apartment and eating ramen so you can spend 20 hours a day staring at petri dishes, your sense of reality begins to warp. You reach a point where the truth feels less important than the result. He wasn't asking me to lie. He was asking me to refine the narrative. He pushed the keyboard toward me, the plastic feet dragging across the steel with a sound like a long, slow intake of breath. Staying in this lab isn't a choice. It's an insurance policy. It's the only way to ensure the last 6 years weren't just a slow-motion suicide of my social life and bank account. Sterling finally spoke, his voice skipping the acknowledgement of the red-flagged cells in the spreadsheet. He asked if I'd checked the final formatting. I watched his finger hover over the print command for the federal submission form. The glow of the monitor hit his face, making his skin look like parchment stretched over a skull. He didn't wait for me to answer. He turned the monitor toward me and waited. I looked at the author list. My name was at the very top, not his, mine. I entered my credentials into the digital signature field. He watched my pulse in the side of my neck, not the screen. When the submission successful dialogue appeared, he nodded slowly. He reached into his lab coat and pulled out a small blue velvet box. He placed it on the counter. It opened with a soft, muffled click. Inside was a heavy gold-plated microscope pin, the Senior Fellow Award. The progress bar on the federal server moved in small, jerky increments, 10%, 25, 40. He told me that putting my name first was a gift. He said that at his age, he didn't need the glory, but a young researcher like me needed the armor of a major publication. He used the word indestructible. He said it while looking at the brown, oxidized core of the apple. I looked at the digital timestamp on the submission. It was permanent, unchangeable, and linked to my IP address. There was a small smudge on the lens of my safety goggles, a fingerprint left when I'd adjusted them during the 3A-pound shift. I found myself staring at that smudge. It was the only thing in my field of vision that was blurry. Everything else, the forged data, the submission, the gold pin, was terrifyingly sharp. The logic is actually quite simple if you remove the ethics from the equation. If the drug works in the long run, does it matter if the initial trials were optimized? That's what he told me during my first year of the fellowship, and it's even more convincing now. By putting my name first, he was telling the world he believed in me. He was giving me the win I'd been starving for. People talk about selling out as if it's a sudden dramatic betrayal. It isn't. It's a series of professional upgrades. It's a lead authorship. It's a senior fellowship. It's a peppermint-scented pat on the back. You stay because he's convinced you that you're part of something historic. And once you believe you're making history, you stop worrying about the footnotes. The submission confirmed light on the terminal flickered once, a steady green eye watching me from the dark. Sterling turned away from the counter. He didn't sit back down. He walked to the door and engaged the electronic lock. The deadbolt clicked, and he didn't even look up from his clipboard. He just asked if I wanted to see the draft for the press release. He walked to the side of my stool and placed a hand on my shoulder, leaning over so his breath was warm against my ear. He asked if I remembered the Grant B-42 rejection. I told him I did. He asked if I remembered the audit that almost ended my career before it started. I didn't answer. He smiled, but his eyes remained cold, fixed on the printer as it began to spit out the federal confirmation pages. He told me that those problems were in the past now. They had been overridden by my new status. I watched the printer work. He saw the data points he'd told me to ignore. He saw the outliers that suggested the drug caused liver failure in 12% of the test group. He saw the signature on the form, my signature, declaring that all data was raw and unmanipulated. He didn't look worried. He looked like a man who had just handed someone else a heavy suitcase right before the security checkpoint. He took the gold pin from the box and pinned it to my lab coat. The needle was sharp. I felt it prick my skin through the fabric. He used his thumb to smooth the lapel of my coat. You're wondering why I didn't retract it the moment he left the room. But how? The moment that submit button was pressed, the data became federal property. If I report the fraud now, I'm not the whistleblower. I'm the primary suspect. My name is on the top line. My credentials signed the disclosure. My IP address sent the file. He is just the supportive mentor who gave a brilliant young woman a chance, only to be devastated by her ambition-driven deception. I am a passenger on a ship that's already hit the iceberg, and he's the only one with the keys to the lifeboats. You sit in the lab. You watch the green light of the cursor. You convince yourself that maybe the drug will work anyway. You stay because the alternative requires a level of public disgrace you're no longer prepared to survive. Sterling picked up the stack of papers from the printer. The heat of the fresh ink was palpable in the small space. He tucked the papers into a folder, with his name embossed on the front in gold. Then he picked up the brown apple core and tossed it into the biohazard bin. He turned the door handle and the electronic lock disengaged with a sharp mechanical snap. He told me to go home and get some sleep. He told me the investigators from the federal board would be here Monday to do the routine verification interview, and as lead author, I would be the only one they needed to speak with. He said I should be proud of what I'd accomplished. The logic was perfect. It was a closed loop. A high-speed career with no brakes and a brick wall at the end. I sat on the stool, listening to the hum of the sub-basement. I looked at the gold pin on my chest. It was heavy, balanced, and perfectly clean. I felt a strange hollow lightness in my stomach, the way you feel right before the floor of an elevator drops. I looked at the blank monitor. I looked at the empty velvet box. I realized that the senior credit wasn't a reward for my work. It was a fee for my fall. You're judging the way I signed that screen, aren't you? You're thinking about your integrity and how you would have walked out and reported him to the board. It's easy to have principles when you don't have $100,000 in debt and a decade of your life on the line. But look at your own cubicle. Look at the reports you've adjusted to make your boss look good. The small corners you've cut to meet a deadline. The way you've let someone else take the blame for a mistake just so you wouldn't have to explain it. You're already in the lab with me. You've been smoothing out your own curves for years. You'd have done the same for half the price, wouldn't you?